Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel 2!
What is up, guys? It is the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, presented by betonline.ag. Got another great episode lined up for you guys today. Georgia is the number, as we sit right now, Georgia is the number one team in the country. So we'll discuss that a little bit. We will recap last week's matchups and of course, the upcoming game with Kentucky. College game day is going to be there, but joining me to do so, Israel's going to be joining me here in a little bit. He's in a coaches meeting at Monroe area. The Tornadoes are getting ready for a playoff push. They got Daugherty and Westover in their way. So they're going to try to make a push to the postseason. So he is in a coaches meeting at this moment. He will join us later, but joining us right now is my main man from the Bleav in Kentucky podcast is my man, Vinny Hardy. Vinny, what's up, man?
Man, Corey, I'm doing good, man. It's that time of year. Here we are on each other's shows again, talking Kentucky, Georgia, man. This season's flying by, but we wouldn't have it any other way. How you doing?
Man, I'm great, man. I can't complain. But, you know, what you and I talked about earlier this week was, you know, since we like to do this, you know, I guess cross promotion or getting on each other's shows and things like that, we figured it would be probably the best idea to kind of coincide it with who the home team is in the actual matchup. So since Georgia's the home team this week, we welcome you onto our set. And we welcome you and your perspective and everything like that. So in the next year, we'll jump on your platform and we'll be the visitors and you can be the home team next year and we will coincide that with Georgia's home game. So I think that's, you know, that's going to be a fun thing to do. That's going to be a fun way to get after it and maybe even basketball season. I think Georgia's going to be actually pretty decent. So we might be able to get some good basketball shows going during when conference play cranks up there. So, but how's everything else been, man? Your show's awesome, man. I catch the episodes when I can and man, I've really enjoyed what you guys are doing over there at Bleav in Kentucky.
Man, I appreciate it. You know, it's having fun with it. Just like you, just trying to keep it good each and every week for the listeners, trying to get better each and every week. You guys, you talked about, you know, basketball and Tom Crean. Let me just be the first to say thank you all for Sevier Wheeler. You know, he beat us last year. He beat us, and then he joined us. I mean, that inbounds play, he threw the pass that led to the layup to beat us at the buzzer, and now he came on up to Lexington to help restore and rebuild us from the terrible season we had last year. So we appreciate Sevier coming on up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we hate to lose him. We lost four guys in the transfer portal, so we got four new bodies. So that's always an adventure. But Vinny, we are presented by BetOnline.ag. It's the number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. It's a new updated site interface. They have even more odds, props, and contests, and BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So what you want to do is head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use that promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Personally, for me, Vinny, it's blackjack. I don't know if you're a casino guy, but if you are, what's your favorite game, or what would be your favorite game if you were?
I'm not a huge betting guy. If I were, maybe it would be blackjack. I'm not trying to get ahead of us, but that spread. I know I saw what y'all did to Arkansas. Yeah. And I'm just like, man,
it's tempting.
Can y'all blackjack us this coming Saturday? I don't know.
We will dig further into that, because you know Kentucky has continued to blow my mind. But but don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers. If you do want to lay those points there, make sure you head on over to BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. So speaking of that, man, looking backwards to kind of get the whole full story of what Kentucky football has been this year, you welcome in new offensive coordinator Liam Cohen. You start out of the gates against UL Monroe with just a dominant performance, you know, something that Kentucky fans hadn't seen in a while, which is the forward pass. Then you hit a bit of an ice patch where it just seemed like y'all couldn't take care of the ball. It just seemed like, you know, the offense was really bogged down, couldn't find your identity, things like that. But then these last couple of weeks have been outstanding. Y'all have continued to win through all of those troubles, and then just completely dismantling LSU. And I get it. LSU is not what they used to be, but it's still LSU. And at the end of the day, Kentucky is still at that level where they're still on the rise and they're still trying to make a name for themselves. LSU still right there at that name brand, even though they're 8-8 over their last 16 games. It's still a huge, huge win and made shockwaves through the conference, no matter where Kentucky is, no matter where LSU is at this point. So that was exciting to see. And one of my favorite offensive linemen has been Darian Kennard. I don't know why I said Darian Kendrick. I have a De'Arion Kennard that plays football for me at Hillwood. He's about 5'6", 140 pounds, not even close to your Darian Kennard. So, but just talk about Kentucky and kind of their journey up until this game and kind of what you've seen, that, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, what you've seen coming up to this point.
It was, you know, people tried to kind of temper the expectations. You know, the excitement for the offense was there. Everybody loved Eddie Grant. He was a great guy, but partially he never had a true healthy QB1, which he couldn't control that. And he kind of had to do stuff on the fly, you know, Steven Johnson, Lynn Bowden, to salvage some seasons. So the year when Drew Barker was there, he got hurt. That was probably his best chance. They threw it all over the yard against Southern Miss. But other than that, he never had a true healthy starting quarterback. So to me, he did the best he could with what he had. And then for a couple of years in a row, you're just dead last in the conference in passing. I think last year, 122 yards a game. That's just not going to get you balanced. You're going to be one-dimensional, kind of fighting with one arm tied behind your back every week. So they make a change of Lynn Cohen. And ULM was just, I mean, this, we all have our cupcakes at the beginning of the season. They were really, really bad. You know, Terry Bowden trying to turn them around. So it looked great. It was, oh my goodness, you're passing 300 yards, you're running wild, hitting Wandale Robinson wide open. So everybody just automatically saw what this offense was capable of, even though you knew, being realistic, you got to take time to get it clicking when you're playing better competition. So after seeing the highs of that, then you go down to the lows with the struggles against Chattanooga. The turnovers against Missouri, or that game wouldn't have been as close as it was.
Yeah, that game was looking like a blowout for a while.
Yeah. C-Rod is at the goal line. It's going to be 28-7 if he punches it in. Momentum flips, and then you have a one-score game. Same thing in South Carolina. Fumbles. You come into the Florida game, you're minus 9 in the turnover ratio, and you're still undefeated. So you've been playing with fire as far as that goes all year long. And they finally kind of got that under control. Levis had some picks in all the games. A lot of it had been accuracy issues, you know, hitting guys behind them, getting some tip balls that should have been caught, but he could have put it on them better. Just a little bit off. You know how it is. You're offensive coordinator yourself. Oh, yeah. just a little bit off.
Just one little thing here. You know, you miss one block there. You know, the ball 6 inches behind you, things like that, just, you know, frustrating, but very fixable too.
Yeah. And so you get to Missouri, everybody just get to the Missouri game undefeated. You beat Missouri, beat South Carolina, get to Florida 4-0, and then that's your meat portion of the schedule, Florida, mm-hmm. LSU, Georgia. Some people say, well, if you go 4-0, you lose those three, you can bounce back and still have a shot to run the table and go 9-3. Well, this is the best case scenario. You've 6-0, got a shot for 7-0 if you can pull upset against Georgia. Lose at Georgia, you're 6-1, and then you finish out the rest of the season. So it's
a legitimate shot at 11-1. Yeah. If this game doesn't go in Kentucky's favor, you know, it's a very winnable schedule. And this is, you know, this Georgia team will put you to the test. So, man, I was excited when you guys beat Florida, you know, because I'm very much a, and I know Kentucky fans probably feel me on this one, but, you know, very much a Gator hater as a Georgia guy. As co-host of SEC After Dark, I can't be quite as bad of a Gator hater, but, you know, I have to temper that down a little bit, although it slips. It's
hats off to you for still doing that though, man, for, you know, on that podcast. And then you get colors out here.
Yeah, I have to throw my jabs in a little bit, but you know, when I can get on this one, you know, you see the floating bulldog head in the background there, our little PTI set we got going. So, but yeah, I mean, it just seemed like to me watching Kentucky, it just seemed like, you know, they were able to find a run game with C-Rod, which I love that nickname. And they were able to play some defense, and they were able to get through and give some people some trouble as they're finding their identity offensively. And then now they're starting to pop. And now things are starting to get really tricky with, you know, with Wandale Robinson. I mean, he's been electric since day one. And it's going to get even better, in my opinion, as things get kind of settled, as Will Levis gets a little bit more accurate, gets a little bit more comfortable with digesting the playbook, things like that. He's going to get good protection with that offensive line. So I really like kind of the direction of this Kentucky team. But looking at Georgia and how they've gotten to this point, defense has just been absolutely suffocating. You know, 5.5 points per game given up, best in the country, number one in most defense categories. Just have a front seven that I, as long as I've been following Georgia football, which I think I've been following it since about 94. I was about in fourth grade, so that's when I started kind of really understanding, you know, what good teams look like and what not so good teams look like. And then I went to school there in 02 and really became the fan that I am now. I was kind of just a general fan, probably followed Florida State more than any team growing up. My dad played there, but I went to Georgia, and you know, you can't go to a place like Georgia and not buy into the culture there. And I did. And it was, you know, some of the best years of my life, there at University of Georgia. But since I've been following it, this is the best defense I've ever seen personally. I mean, I'm sure there's been better defenses in the 80s, you know, the 1980 defense or the Junkyard Dogs of the mid to late 80s. And, you know, things like that. Those defenses under Irk Russell, I'm sure were just as good statistically. But I mean, this defense is just nasty. You have Keely Ringo, who hasn't yielded a catch at cornerback. You have Nakobe Dean, who I think is one of the, I think he's, if not the best, one of the top linebackers in the SEC and in the country. He's a projected first rounder. And then you got the runaway industrial refrigerator in Jordan Davis, who's 6'6", 350, and runs faster than you or I could ever dream of. It's insane. And just, you know, the backup guys, you know, the backup, Jalen Carter, will probably be a first rounder before it's all said and done. You had a third stringer get a sack last week on Bo Nix, Zion Logue, Trevon Walker, Devontae Wyatt playing out there on the four techniques. And you got Adam Anderson, Nolan Smith, those two guys edge rushing. I mean, you know, you just start naming names and all of a sudden it turns into a who's who of defense, and they've just been really, really stingy. And then offensively just been, you know, again, just figuring it out with our backup quarterback for the most part. We've been airing it out, cramming it down people's throats. I mean, we've scored just about every way you could possibly score. And, you know, we've won games only throwing it 11 times. We won games, you know, throwing it 35 times. I mean, it's either here nor there. It's pick your poison. So, and we've been doing it with duct tape and bubble gum with the wide receiver group. So I can't really explain how this group is playing this well, given the circumstances, because they shouldn't be. You know, you look at this offense and you're down, you know, you've got a 60% Kyaris Jackson. You've got Dominic Blaylock out, George Pickens out, Arian Smith out, Marcus Rosemy Jackson out. That's five guys right there that played significantly last year. Jermaine Burton is not quite the same. My cousin Jermaine, he's not, something's ailing him. So, I mean, your key contributors are a freshman tight end who runs a 4.4, by the way. He was clocked at 21 miles an hour on one of his touchdown runs. You have Ladd McConkey, who's a redshirt freshman, right? And then you have, I mean, those are two big key contributors. You have A.D. Mitchell, who's a true freshman. And, you know, Jalen Johnson, who's a walk-on, has gotten catches in some action. And then you got some of the, you know, Kyaris does contribute a little bit, but he's still not 100% of what he was last year. So it's duct tape and bubble gum, to be honest with you. So I can't really explain it, but I think some of it is just they really, in the offseason, they really kind of focused on team building, team bonding, stuff like that. I mean, that stuff can make a difference. And I think a lot of that has. So, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, what have you noticed about Georgia?
Oh, the defense, like, I mean, that's nationally known. That's what everybody talks about, and it's been getting all the praise. And when I was on with you guys in the summer, y'all asked about a burning question, and I asked something about Kirby Smart or something like that. But I had a few more for y'all today.
Let's hear it.
I was going to go back to the defense because, okay, you know, you guys have been recruiting at an elite level for years. That's, you know, it's not like, yeah, you know, you went crazy high this particular year. You've been at an elite level for years. If you had to put it in a pie chart or an ingredients, what percentage of it is the recruiting for this defense to be what it is? What's this perfect storm? Is it scheme? Is it development? What has made all of this come together the way it has? If you had to break it down into a little bit of this and a little bit of that, how would you, break it down as to what's caused this defense to be this good at this time?
I would say about 65% of it is recruiting. You know, you can't have this many five stars and not be somewhat talented, somewhat good. At 65% recruiting. So of the remaining 35%, I'd say about 25% is development. Because when we recruit these guys play. Like last year, they rotated 25 people. Got significant snaps on that defense last season. And they've done that, you know, from day one. He always plays his guys over there defensively. And then the rest of the percentage, whatever's left, is scheme. I think they do some things scheme-wise, it gets them in good positions. But, I mean, you know, they're not immune to having busted coverages, missed tackles, technique, things like that. So I think scheme, they've put these some of these guys in some good situations. I think because of the recruiting and development that they've been able to be a little bit more aggressive scheme-wise with pressures and a little bit more creative with coverages. So if I had to do an ingredients list, recruiting is probably the main ingredient.
Because, you know, last year you had studs, you had guys, the year before you had guys. Some years in past years you've had more superstar dominant individual players in amongst all of these talented guys that you have, you know, your Roquan Smiths and guys like that. Jordan Davis gets a lot of the pub just because of the size and the speed. But as crazy as it sounds, it's more kind of just a collective bunch of dudes that are good, but there's no dominant, like, megastar, if you will, on this team. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the development piece of it. That's the development and scheme pieces of it. You know, you get guys that, you know, you find those perfect types. Like, you recruit those big, long, fast edge guys like Nolan Smith and Adam Anderson. You know, there's another guy, Smail Munden, who's a true freshman. He's gotten in a few games. He's somebody that's going to get some valuable experience. And when Smith and Anderson leave, he'll be one of the key contributors next year. The linebacking core is going to be young next year. They'll probably be a step back as far as dominance goes there. But N'Kobe Dean is somebody who slowly worked his way into a starting spot. Christopher Smith really kind of got thrown into the fire at the free safety position last year in place of Richard LeCount when LeCount went down with injury. You know, Keely Ringo comes in and just works on the scout team as he's nursing his shoulder. You know, he had a horrific shoulder injury his senior year of high school. He comes in early, enrolls, goes through Dr. Ron Corson's program and just competes on the scout team, you know, when he finally got medically cleared and just kind of worked on his individual skills. Hasn't yielded a pass yet, yielded a completion yet. The only yards that have been made on him were on pass interference penalties against Clemson. You know, guys like, you know, Quay Walker, he's been a backup, but he's gotten significant reps behind some of these other guys. And they've seen some of the development that Roquan Smith, guys like Roquan Smith had, or, you know, Davin Bellamy, or, you know, Lorenzo Carter, some of those guys that are making some noise in the NFL. I mean, Roquan Smith is what he is. So it's just, you know, next man up. You know, these guys play, and then they get better. They see this live action. And then, of course, practices are, you know, I've heard the practices are really intense, especially in training camp, especially in spring. The competition is just crazy. You know, team periods are about as full bore as they go. It's probably not true at other places, but you see teams that really compete well. Like, you just look at the top of the rankings, you know, you probably go to a Kentucky practice, you know, Stoops is getting after it, right? You go to Georgia practice, you know, Kirby's getting after it. Go to Bama, you know, Saban's getting after it. Go to LSU, I don't know what they're doing over there, but they're all figuring out how to get out of practice, right? Oh, my shoulder hurts. Oh, you know, something like that, you know. Just look at their injury list, and it's like the who's who of college football is on the injury list. Mm-hmm. And some of them are legit, I'll be honest, but some of them are like, they got a sprained ankle, but do I really want to come back? No, probably not.
I mean, since we played them, it's just more and more guys to, you know, they lost Boutte during the game, which that was legit. Yeah. But then Gay and Rig and all these other names have come out.
Like, they're just like, So I got to congratulate you. And we'll jump right into this preview now. We'll drop right into this week's game. But I'll give you guys credit, man. I'll applaud you. You drove the final nail in the Ed Orgeron professional coffin at LSU. So I think it's the beginning of the end there. And I think he's just going to play out the string unless they get embarrassed this week against Florida, and they might just go ahead and fire him. But so I give you credit on that. But, you know, when you look at this matchup, College Game Day is going to be there. So, you know, the atmosphere is going to be insane. This is the third time that College Game Day has been at a Georgia game. Obviously the first one was the neutral site, but this will be the second time in 3 weeks they've been in Athens.
you know, with nation too, both of them.
Shit, might as well get. I don't know what other shows are out there. But let's go ahead and get the Big Noon Kickoff to come down from Fox. What else? Who else? The ACC Network. Let's go ahead and get them down here. Why? Just because you know they don't. You know, maybe we can convince them that this is actually Georgia Tech, and they can stop by and then you know get Coach Rick down there. So. I think it's you know the atmosphere is going to be insane. It's a 2:30 well, it's a 3:30 kick, and so you know the fans are going to be a little extra juiced. They were juiced for a noon kick, much less a 3:30 kick. So, but joining us now, I see him. He has arrived. The coach himself, Mr. Tornado, making a playoff push. But he's also going to make a push into our show. We welcome Israel Troop. Israel, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? Sorry I'm late, but you know, duty calls. So had to put in a little work tonight.
Well, you know, the storm is coming, right? So
that's right.
You know, you got to let Daugherty and Westover know the storm's coming. So
believe it.
So we just started talking about this week's matchup. We kind of just recapped things like that. What our 30,000 foot view of Kentucky is, and he gave us the same. Vinny, I'm gonna let you ask Israel the same question you just asked me. I want to see if Israel says the same thing.
Yeah, man, what's up, IT?
What's going on, Vinny?
Not much, man. Just that, you know, crazy set time for us to be doing this again. How fast the year went by. I was talking with Corey because you guys have been recruiting at a high level forever. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like there's been some big spike in recruiting. It's been consistently high. So I just wanted to know, with this defense Georgia has this year, it's getting all the pub, you know, nationally. Everybody's been talking about it all season. They've been choking about everybody they played, shutouts and, you know, averaging 5 points a game against them. If you had to just break it down into like a pie, a percentage of this, percentage of that, what would you – say would be the ingredients of this defense being so good? Is it recruiting? Is it scheme? Is it development? How would you break it down as to how it's all come together so great for them this year, the way they're just smothering offenses like this?
Man, I think it's just an all around effort. For one, like you said, our recruiting has been great. So, it goes number one to development. You know, you can have 5 stars running down the field all day. But how are you developing them? You know, how are you getting what you want out of them every day? You know, when they come in, they're 5 stars, so everybody's expecting the most out of them anyway. But how do you get them to gel and adjust to the college life? You know, they're a big fish in a small pond when they're in high school. You know, they're number one 5-star guys coming out, but now they're a big fish in an ocean of other big fishes, you know, whenever they get to college. So how do you get them to compete? You know, they're the best of the best of where they come from. How do you get them to compete against guys, you know, that have the same skill level as them, you know, same ability. So it's all about development. You know, how do you develop this 5-star into a top-notch, you know, draft pick, top-notch college player, you know, when they get to Georgia? You know, the next thing is scheme. You know, our defensive staff does a great job putting these guys in great situations. You know, Adam Anderson, who's playing defensive end. All right, now you move him to outside linebacker to the star position. Now he's getting more looks. Now you're getting mismatches with him. You know, now you're getting him on the edge, things like that. You know, they're putting guys in places where they can succeed. You know, there's no point in putting, I use him as an example, Anderson down in a 3-point stance going against a 320-pound lineman. Well, you can say he can beat him with speed, but eventually – that lineman's going to wear on him a little bit. And they're going to start running right at him. You know, so now you put him at an outside linebacker in like this star position where he can cover. Now you can bring him from all sorts of places. You can bring him from the outside. You can do twists and anything with him because why? He's still a glorified lineman, but in a linebacker body. You know, so, you know, it just depends on, you know, what you're looking at. I think for the most part, it just comes with development and scheme for me. Kirby Smart and that defense staff are developing these kids to fit the scheme that they want them to do. We want to be able to use our linemen, you know, to go to work up front and free up our linebackers. Why? Because you can watch it Saturday. N'Kobe Dean is out covering a running back, gets a pick. You know, he almost got him the first time, but he dropped it. The second time he got him and he picked it, you know, so it's freeing up a lot of our guys. So, I mean, development scheme, I think our guys are doing a great job putting these guys in the best situation to succeed. And you can see, I mean, you're giving up 5.5 points a game. You know, when's the last time Georgia's been able to do that? And still, you know, have shutouts and our offense is putting up points the way that they're doing. I mean, it's all about development and scheme to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vinny Hardy joins us here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. It is a home game for Georgia, so it is a home game for you and I, Israel. But if you want to follow us on social media, right on down below us, it's scrolling. If you want to follow Vinny, at Vinny Hardy on Twitter and at Believe in Kentucky as well, you can follow his show. You can find him on YouTube on the Believe channel. So that's exciting stuff. So Vinny, when you look at this, the matchup of Kentucky's offense versus Georgia defense, you know, what matchups do you see could be a problem for Georgia? What, what holes do you see based on what you've seen, from previous weeks? Like, how would you attack this Georgia defense?
It's not a lot of weaknesses like everybody's been talking about, like you guys have seen play in and play out. Kentucky has a really good offensive line and have had one for several years. You know, Kirby Smart stated in his press conference the other day, this is the most physical team we play year in and year out. Do you try to sustain drives against this defense? That's not really worked. Kentucky has now revamped the offense like we talked about. You bring in Liam Cohen from the Rams as offensive coordinator. Will Levis transfers in from Penn State at quarterback. Wondell Robinson transfers back home to Kentucky from Nebraska as a home run hitter at the wide receiver position, leading the conference in receiving. You have some ability to maybe get some big plays to hit some shots and get some explosives. If you get that chance, you got to execute because you know you nobody's sustained anything. Nobody's went 12 plays, 86 yards on Georgia this year. So you got Chris Rodriguez from Georgia coming back, you know, leading the conference in rushing behind that offensive line. Maybe you can kind of get something going in the running game to keep some drives going to convert some third downs. Maybe you get Jordan Davis moved enough every now and then to get some yards in the run game. You got to kind of be balanced. You can't just get crazy trying to take shots, even though you have Wondell out there and you want to force feed him the ball and get him a lot of touches. You can't, I don't think. You might want to take a chat with let's we got the best offensive line. Let's prove that we can run on Georgia. Do you want to keep banging your head against the wall till it's too late and you're like, oh well, maybe it ain't working? So it's a real kind of fine line, and it'll be interesting to see how they try to approach it. Got some decent tight ends. Maybe you can get something going that way in the intermediate passing game. You got to see what works, and it's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be one of them old school kind of knockdown drag outs.
Oh, yeah.
Both teams want to run the ball. I'm a little bit worried about y'all running because McCall, who not quite as big as Jordan Davis, is out, lost him in the Florida game. Octavius Oxendine went out last week against LSU. So Georgia was wanting to run down the hill anyway, and now Kentucky's got a couple D linemen out. So, You gotta try to take some shots at Wondell for sure. Mm-hmm. Josh Ali, number two receiver, is out, so we got to see who's stepping up over there. Because you mentioned all the wide receivers you got out. That's still a position of weakness that Kentucky hasn't quite built up as strong as they have the other positions. So
yeah,
your best corner is going to be following Wondell anyway. The dude that hadn't given up any catches, he's going. take Wondell.
Keely Ringo. Yeah.
Yes, and then we got to see if some other guys can kind of step up and find a favorable matchup.
Yeah, Israel, Georgia's offense versus Kentucky's defense. I mean, obviously with Kentucky, for me, you know, you still got to try to run the ball in there. You still got to try to get something, because eventually you will find a couple creases and you will find something that you can hit and maybe try to go tempo. But for Georgia's offense, you know, with some key defensive lines out that Vinny just said, what, you know, is running the ball, you know, 35 times, 40 times. Is that the way to go this week? Are we going to take some shots, or, you know, how do you attack knowing the injuries that they have and just kind of what problems that Kentucky's defense can present for Georgia?
I think right now you kind of follow the same plan we had against Auburn last week with a couple of key guys that they have out on the defense line. I think you run the football. Mm-hmm. You run the football and you set up the pass. What we did a good job of last week was balance. And we all know Mike Leach's balance and, you know, our offensive coordinator's balance is totally different, you know. But I think Georgia did a great job of mixing running pass last week. They ran it when they wanted to and they passed it when they wanted to. I think that's how you set the tone against Kentucky, because we all know game day, 3:30 kickoff, CBS primetime game. It's going to be live and it's going to be in effect on Saturday. So what you have to do is you have to take Kentucky out of it from the jump, whether that's a deep ball down the field, whether that's a big run, you have to take Kentucky out of it. Because one thing I do know about Kentucky, if there's one team that can beat you, it's going to be them. I feel like Kentucky this year, after watching them, they're a scrappy team. They finally have an offensive coordinator. They finally have a quarterback that can move the football. Their offensive line is, this is going to be the most physical offensive line we've played all year. They're experienced, they're a veteran group, and they play hard and they play physical. So we're going to have to get after it this week. We're going to have to sustain drives. We're going to have to keep our defense off the field. I just saw we lost Smith to an ACL injury. So, you know, we're going to have to do a lot of things to help keep our defense off the field. What that means is sustaining drives, whether it's JT, whether it's Stetson Bennett, we're going to have to complete balls when we need to. We're going to have to stay out of third and long. Kentucky does do a good job on third down situations. I've watched them against Florida. I've watched them against LSU. Third down and long, seven, you know, that 6-7 range, they do a really good job of getting to the quarterback, and they get a really good job keeping everything in front to where it forces you into a fourth down situation to make you think about it or you're going to punt it. So we have to stay in third and short, and we're just going to have – we're going to have to out-physical them. Coach Absolutely. Stoops is a defensive-minded guy. So you know they're going to come in. They're going to want to bring that thump. It's in Athens. They have a point to prove. It's the first time they've been ranked in a long time. Like I said, game day is going to be there. It's going to be a packed house. They're going to be looking to prove a point. They're going to prove – they're going to try to prove they're not just a basketball school. Their football is back. And I think for – and rightfully so, because they've been playing some really good football. And regardless of who they beat or what time it is, they beat a really good LSU team who are still really good on defense. And they just beat a really good Florida team as well coming into this game.
Absolutely, Israel. I mean, you know, you look at it, even if this game, like I was telling Vinny, even if this game does not go in Kentucky's favor, which judging by the spread, you know, that's – you know, for it to go in their favor is going to take a lot, but I think they still have a legitimate shot going 11-1. You know, they're 6-0 at this point. They'll be six and one after this game if they don't win. I mean, I think an 11-1 Kentucky team, Stoops is coach of the year for sure. I would give him a solid look at that. But you know, I really like what this Kentucky team does. I mean, if we can learn something from Bama a week ago, it's not to take any opponent for granted. I mean, you know, Kentucky's built very much like Texas A&M, except they play to their potential. For the most part, I mean, obviously, you know, you had some turnover woes at the beginning of the season, but I mean, they're physical. They can run the ball. Chris Rodriguez can run the ball. That's y'all's Isaiah Spiller. You have a quarterback that can deal it. You know, if he can be a little bit more accurate, he's really, really dangerous. Will Levis, and he can run a little bit too. I saw him bouncing off people last week. So I mean, he can tuck it and go. I mean, he's not, you know. It's not Bo Nix back there where if somebody sees an opposite color helmet, he's going to just start scrambling around, even if they're not even within 2 yards of him. He's going to start scrambling around. That's not what Will Levis does. So this team is very, very buttoned up. This team is very physical. This team is very, very hungry. So if Georgia thinks they can waltz out there and Kentucky will just lay down, you know, because they're the number one team in the country, they better be on high alert here. And it's a big atmosphere. So I'm not worried that Georgia's not going to be alert, but you know, you never know. This is the SEC. It's college football. Crazier things have happened. So this is going to be a fun contest. But if I'm Georgia, pound the rock. You've got some running backs. You've got Zamir. You got Cook. You got Milton. And if McIntosh is healthy, you got him too. Daiwan Edwards. You've got some horses in the shed that can pound it. You've got two great tight ends now with Darnell Washington coming back. He looks like he came straight out of State Farm Arena from the Hawks game and put on a uniform. You got Brock Bowers, who has just shocked everybody. Four-star kid out of Napa, California. Did not think he was going to make this big of an impact this early. But you got him running around. You got Ladd McConkey, who I guess he's the next Wes Welker, Hunter Renfro type slot receiver. Just very unassuming. You look at him and you're just like, wait, what did this guy do?
Like, yeah, that kid can ball now.
That kid's
balling.
He is a baller. So, you know, to say that this game is going to be star-studded is an understatement, man. This is going to be a fun matchup. And, you know, Wandale Robinson is somebody that I really have enjoyed watching playing. And I'm sure he's glad he left Nebraska to come to the SEC because he's getting much, much better football. So,
running between the tackles, they weren't using him right, so he came so, back home.
What the, like Scott Frost, like what the hell, man? What the hell? So, special teams is going to be important. That you know, as always, you know the, you know big plays in special teams are huge momentum boosters. I mean the blocked punt that Georgia had against Arkansas 2 weeks ago, that kind of really made that game from being a win to a blowout. So, you know, that's one thing for me. You've got to protect against.
Yeah. Josh Pascoe blocked a field goal that won the Florida game for Kentucky.
Exactly. Like big special teams plays, like your protections have got to be rock solid. So Israel, anything else that stands out to you about this game? I mean, you know, is there any matchups that you're interested in seeing? Is there any key players that you're wondering about or any key pieces from Kentucky that you're wondering about while we got,
yeah, I was just about to ask Benny. So Benny, let me ask you this, but the buzz around Kentucky right now, you know, it's not basketball season yet. People are actually talking about football. What do you think Kentucky's mindset is going into this game now? You know, it's a big stage for them, number one team in the nation. You know, this is the first time that they've actually been a contender to actually, you know, do some things, you know, on the football field. You know, so how is it, you know, over there, and how is it going over there? Do you think that the stage might be too big for them, or do you think they'll be okay going into this game?
I think they'll be okay. I'm not just saying that because I'm you know, Kentucky fan, do a Kentucky podcast. Georgia, as we know, y'all are number one in defense across the board and by a lot. In between you, I think Alabama's second, but they're 100 some yards behind you in total yards. But Kentucky's third in the conference, mm-hmm. you know, defensively. So that's arguably the best defense that Georgia's going to face this season up to this point. And you mentioned basketball. It's crazy. Big Blue Madness is tomorrow at Rupp Arena. And this is the least talked about Big Blue Madness ever, ever.
Usually it's like okay, Big Blue Madness. Man. Okay, here we go. All right, cool. Let's go. You know,
yeah, it's sold out and all, but nobody's talking about it. Daryl Bird, who runs the Cat's Paw, was on my Cat's Talk Wednesday podcast the other day, and he's covered Kentucky for 40 years. So is this the quietest lead up to Big Blue Madness ever? He said, yeah, it's not even close because everybody talked about Kentucky 6-0, and everybody's looking forward to this game against Georgia. Another reason why I say Kentucky won't be maybe so overwhelmed is because this is the second time, and this is crazy from us as Kentucky fans, this is the second time in 4 years that we played Georgia for first place in the East. Y'all came in Lexington in 2018 and jumped on Kentucky, hit them in the mouth, got up 28-3, won.
That was a DeAndre 17. Swift. That was a DeAndre Swift party there.
Yeah, it was over, and you know, y'all kind of popped the balloon real quick. But there's still some guys, DeAndre Square and some other guys, who were on the team playing Georgia for a shot at the East. So it was more of a, hey, we're happy to be here back then. Now it's more of a, hey, we know we should be here. We've been doing this for a while ourselves. Now, Georgia, you guys are better and improved, but Kentucky is as well. And it is on the road, and it's going to be hostile. It's going to be crazy. But they're not going to be just in awe and you know, crapping their pants, you know, even if, you know, Georgia does win. It's not going to be the same. Whoa, we're just happy to be here. It's, we deserve to be here. Let's go. So it's, there is a difference from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's what I love to hear right there, because I watch Kentucky play. I love to watch them play. I mean, they've been playing some really good. Well, what's the difference is, you know, the defense has always played hard at Kentucky, but the offense kind of been sputtering. But they're really playing some inspired football to where they're playing for each other now. Mm-hmm. You know, offense is playing to sustain drives for the defense. Defense is playing to get the ball back to the offense. So, y'all, they're both sides are working together, and you add special teams into that. Kentucky can be a very dangerous team. And I tell this to one of our coaches today, I'm not going to sleep past Kentucky. Because if there's, like I always said, between Vandy and Kentucky, those are two teams that seem to always, at some point, you know, obviously not this year with Vandy, but they always find a way to beat Georgia when Georgia's the better team. So this is no different. Game day.
I remember that Zach Cunningham game, man, when they were at Athens, I think. And I just came like, whoa, I can't believe Vandy's pulling his upset off. So, yeah,
exactly.
I didn't mean to bring that bad memory up, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, yeah, man, I remember that one. That's, that was brutal. So it's about that time in our show. Are you ready to make some picks, Vinny?
Yeah. Yes. Let's do it.
What we got today.
You seem excited. Well, basically, yeah, I guess so. I guess.
Let's see. If you gotta pull my arm, I mean, I guess it.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, twist my arm, man. Jeez, okay, we can make some picks. Jeez, at least, man, what's going on here?
Right. I was too laid back. That's my fault, man.
It's all good. It's all good. So last week, to recap, Israel, you and I both hit on the UGA game. Obviously, Dan did not. Ole Miss, we did not get that one. Arkansas did cover that. Florida. Dan got Florida. We both picked Vandy. Shame on us. Tennessee, Israel, you and I won that one. We all swept it on Kentucky. We all took the L on Bama. We took the L on Texas, and we all took the L on Penn State.
Texas bet.
Dude, all those games, we could have won every last one of them.
I know.
Penn State was up by 14. Mm-hmm. 14, and a quarterback goes down, they pee-pee down their leg. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was. I watched that game. I was like, oh, no, our picks are going. And then that Texas game, man, they jumped out.
Oh, my God. They didn't even tackle.
What in the hell? And Oklahoma looked like a completely different team with Caleb Williams. It's funny what happens when you have a quarterback that actually cares about the team.
Talk about quarterback controversy. You know, I saw J-Boy, and I'm going to say this, we're going to get to our picks, but I saw J-Boy. He was talking about Georgia, about Stetson and JT. We all know it's JT's team. Bulldog Nation, we all know it's JT's team. But when you got somebody like Stetson Bennett that can come in and you not skip a beat, that's what you want. There is no controversy. These boys are going out and balling. So let it go, guys. Let it go. Yeah.
There is no controversy when JT's healthy, which will likely be the Florida game. We're good. So, and we'll have a much needed break to get some of our guys healthy. So let's start it off. Let's kick it off. All right, we're gonna kick it off. Texas A&M travels to Mizzou, 8.5-point favorites on the road. I'll start with our guest, Vinny. How do you see this one? Do you like Texas A&M -8.5, or are you taking the points in Mizzou?
I'm going to go with Texas A&M by 8.5. Now, they just beat Alabama, and they might not focus and you know, hard to get them back. But Missouri has been Swiss cheese all season. I mean, we saw what Tennessee did to them. We saw North Texas hanging 35 on them. You know, I feel bad for Steve Wilkes coming from the NFL, but he hasn't really done anything with that defense. So Texas A&M is, this ain't North Texas. This is Texas A&M now. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
All right, Israel.
I'm taking Texas A&M and Spiller runs for about 150 against Missouri.
Yeah, I'm taking A&M too. I think Calzada's gonna light him up, and I think Spiller's gonna have a huge game. So I'm gonna take the Aggies. This is feels like an easy cover for me. So we go down to Ed Orgeron's farewell party. Florida comes in to Baton Rouge, 11-point favorites. I'm not sure where that line currently sits, but I think it's still at 11. Vinny.
I know it's the Death Valley and all, but I'm going to go with Florida on the road because where is LSU at? How many guys are tapped out for real? And even if guys are suiting up, how many have already tapped out? So it's a mess down there, and I'm going to go with Florida.
Israel?
I think Florida can score 14 points, and LSU's offense is terrible. So I'm going Florida with this one.
Yeah, I think LSU is. I think that train has reached its final stop with LSU. They've quit on him. So, and I think it's a wrap for Coach O. I think Florida comes in and just. I think they embarrass him personally, and I think O is fired on Monday. Auburn travels to Fayetteville. Arkansas's 4.5-point favorites at home against the Tigers. Not a huge spread. So it's almost a pick 'em, Vinny. Auburn, do you like them as underdogs, or are you Woo Pig on this one?
I'm Woo Pig on this one, even though they've blown out Alabama, lost a heartbreaker at Ole Miss. They're back at home, and Auburn is got lots of weaknesses too. You don't know what Knicks you're gonna get. I think KJ Jefferson. It's just going to keep doing what he did last week, pick up where he left off. And Auburn, I don't think, has the firepower or the receivers, Israel, you know about that, to be able to hang with Arkansas, especially in Fayetteville.
All right, Israel.
In the Walmart Dome, I'm taking the Arkansas Razorbacks in this one.
All right, and I think that's going to be a clean sweep for us. I just can't, with the way Arkansas has been playing, with the way they played last week against Ole Miss, albeit they're mirror images of each other scheme-wise, so it's not surprising that either that game was either going to be 10-3 or what it was, 52-51. So I'm going to take Arkansas. KJ Jefferson's just maturing each and every week, so I like the Hogs on this.
Lane Kiffin was over there praying at the end.
Please make a tackle. Please make a tackle.
Please deflect this. Please.
Have a stop.
All right, here's a fun one. Vandy travels to Columbia, South Carolina. They are 18-point underdogs, which is baffling as tough of a season the South Carolina is having and as hard of a time as they're having scoring. They're 18-point favorites. What does that say about Vandy? Are you buying Vandy with this 18-point spread?
Oh, man. It's crazy how this might be the hardest one. Oh, they'll lose by 14-15. I'll take Vandy. I mean, it's South Carolina. Just they can't score. They can't. They have no offense over there. I'll go Vandy.
All right, Israel.
This is the most evenly matched two teams I've ever seen in the SEC before.
This is ridiculous.
So we're making so bad. I'm going to take Vandy. I'm taking Vandy. Vandy has a good enough defense to hold South Carolina. Yeah. South Carolina hadn't shown anything against Tennessee, against us, obviously against us, but they haven't shown anything. I'm just going back to the Eastern Carolina game. So, and I know Vandy's better than Eastern Carolina.
But and this is a Vanderbilt team. This is a Vanderbilt team got whooped by ETSU at home.
They took UConn to the wire, which UConn might be the worst FBS program in the whole thing this year.
And before UConn's quarterback got hurt, they were looking pretty good. So it was very video game like. I watched that game.
Well, I told myself I was never gonna take Vandy again. I'm gonna hold true to that this week. I'm gonna make South Carolina burn me. I'm taking the Gamecocks here. I think they win by 28 points. I think they're gonna kill them. It's gonna be ugly. All right. Alabama, licking their wounds after a loss at Texas A&M, go back on the road this week to the land of the cowbell. They take on the Fighting Leeches. They're 17.5-point favorites on the road. Vinny, does Bama win and cover?
Yep. Even as good as Will Rogers has been looking, there, you know, Alabama got punched in the mouth and they're refocused and recalibrated now, and they're going to take it out on poor old Mike Leach over there.
Israel?
And a one-loss Alabama team is more dangerous than an undefeated Alabama team. So, Mississippi State, I'm sorry for you, but y'all finna take a whooping on Saturday.
Yeah, just coming off a loss, man. It's a tempting spread, but I can't do it. Mississippi State's going to get walloped here. All right. I think it's the first sellout at Tennessee in a while, at least in a year and a half, at the very, very earliest. They take on Ole Miss, who comes in at 2.5-point favorite. So basically a pick 'em. It's a really tiny spread for a team that at the beginning of the year was supposed to finish, and compete with Vandy for DFL. And I'll let you guys figure out, what DFL means. So Ole Miss comes in, high-powered offense. Vinny, what do you see?
Full disclosure, I feel the same way about Tennessee as you do about Florida. So that my perspective always skewed when it comes to the Vols. It's got shootout written all over it.
That's why you're a great American, Vinny.
Lane Kiffin is coming back to Knoxville. So that's that storyline.
They're checkerboarding out.
Matt Corral is locked in and on a mission. Hooker's done better than I thought, because coming over from Virginia Tech. But at the end of the day, it might be a replay of Ole Miss Arkansas, but I think Lane's gonna find a way to walk out of Neyland with that W, and they're gonna win by three or more. I'm gonna take Ole Miss.
All right, Israel.
I agree with everything that Vinny just said, except Tennessee is going to win because their defense can actually stop people.
Yeah.
They have a better defense than what they saw, which is surprising because Arkansas has a really good defense. Well, they did have a really good defense. So
I tell you what, you better drink some Spark or Red Bull or whatever to watch this game. This might be a 5-hour contest.
It's going to be like a tennis match going back and forth.
it's going to be 5 hours, man, at the rate these teams play. But you know, I think that the Matt Corral factor, the Snoop Connor factor, the Jerry Neely factor, some of the weapons that they have offensively, I just think is going to overwhelm Tennessee. And I think that Ole Miss has a little bit more quality depth than Tennessee, and I think that's where the difference is going to lie. Vinny, I've actually bought a little bit of stock into Tennessee this year. It really, really, really did not bring me joy to say this on SEC After Dark, but I do think that Josh Heupel was the right hire there. But it's not going to be so this week. I think it's going to be one of those high-scoring games. It's going to be tight for a while, but I think Ole Miss is going to win this thing by a touchdown.
And that's what the fan base needs, because they're feeling good now after these past couple of weeks. And you know, I live outside Knoxville, and they're getting a little chesty and starting to, kind of bring them back.
So you live right outside Knoxville, so that explains a lot now, too.
And I grew up on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. I grew up in Kentucky. And so you go to school with kids who are Tennessee fans. Some of your teachers like Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And maybe it has something to do with the fact that Tennessee beat Kentucky for 28 years straight. So that might be why I hate Tennessee. I went from age 7 to age 34 without seeing Kentucky beat Tennessee. So that explains my
that's brutal.
My bitterness.
That's rough.
That is rough.
Have you said somebody about that?
I might need to, man. I might need to go on the couch and have a session.
Yeah, you guys need to chat afterward here. We got a therapy session. So that's Believe in Georgia Dogs After Dark. Ole Miss is going to end that checkerboard madness real quick, and Lane's going to get his last laugh. He loves trolling. All right, so let's go. Our next two games are going to be, I got a bonus selection, but our next two games, they're not officially members yet, but these are SEC teams. Texas is hosting Oklahoma State. Texas is 5-point favorites in this one. Okie State's been playing a little bit of defense, which is kind of counterintuitive to what we know Oklahoma State is. So Texas, we know about Texas. They're just a roller coaster ride of a team. They have some great talent. They have a lot of great moments, but they really have yet to put together a full game. So Vinny, does Texas win and cover, or do you like the Cowboys?
Does Texas win and cover? Absolutely not. And look, Texas, when you think about it, Texas had basically that Joe Burrow perfect year with Vince Young. What have they done since? What did they do before? I mean, you had Ricky Williams there back when he won the Heisman. They wasn't 11-1 and 12-0 even when they had Ricky. So they had that one magical season, and then we've been waiting for them to come back ever since. They get their hearts ripped out last week against Oklahoma, and you said it, Corey. When both of those teams come to the SEC, Israel, you can let them know, if you can't tackle each other over there, what y'all going to do over here week in and week out? But Oklahoma State rolls Texas because they're still reeling from the Red River deal. Gundy's going to go in there and carve them up. It's all Cowboys.
All right, Israel.
Where is this game being played at?
Austin.
Van Gundy got a haircut. Van Gundy got a haircut. So I'm taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys as well. They're playing some really good football right now in Texas. You don't really know what Texas team you're going to get. I can't trust them, so I'm going to take the Cowboys. Our next matchup brings the Horned Frogs into Norman. It kicks Spencer Rattler out to the transfer portal. Those are the rumors. Caleb Williams now leads this bunch, so this spread probably jumped from 5.5 to 13.5 because of the change at quarterback. Oklahoma looks like a brand new team, a team that should be ranked in the top five versus what they've looked like up until that point. You want to talk about a team that's limped through all of their games and just found that magic horseshoe. It is Oklahoma, but they looked a lot better in the Red River Shootout. The second half told you what kind of team they could be under Caleb Williams. So Vinny, how do you see it? What you got?
I think I'm going to go with what's the spread?
The spread is 13.5 in favor of Oklahoma.
All right. I'm going to go with TCU not to win, but they're gonna keep it under the 13. Gary Patterson's gonna he's a defensive guy as well. For as little defenses in that conference, he does it the most consistently. So I'm gonna roll with the Horned Frogs. They're gonna confuse the young fella, give him some different looks. They kind of, he did his thing and brought him back against Texas, but now, they had a week to look at him and figure some stuff out on him. And so I'm gonna go with the Horned Frogs to cover. They might, I'm not saying win, but I'll say they'll lose by, 7-10.
All right. Israel.
They went on a 38-10 scoring show in the second half in the Red River Shootout. 38-10, they outscored Texas in the second half with a new quarterback. And now that Spencer Rattler's all upset and in his feelings, they have a new quarterback who has, like you said, rejuvenated this Oklahoma offense. I'm taking Oklahoma in this one. I think like Vinny said, they're going to come out and play hard. In that second half, I think they'll be able to figure them out and they'll be able to put up more points.
All right. So you're saying TCU?
No, I'm saying Oklahoma.
Oh, you're saying OU. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I got confused in that explanation. It kind of went here and there and everywhere. It's like Roy Kent. If you guys have watched, Ted Lasso there. It's like Roy Kent here, there, every effing where. All right. So I'm taking OU as well. Alex Greenwich has done a really good job with this defense. I think they've been very opportunistic, but the whole team has been kind of playing flat with Spencer Rattler. You saw new life. You saw new juice there when they changed the quarterback position. They played Kennedy Brooks comes back. He's finally playing well at the running back position. They've got a lot of things going in their favor. They were somehow 5-0 going into that. They really burst onto the scene against Texas. This is kind of their breakout game. I'm going to take OU. They're going to win this game by 17 points.
I'm swimming upstream on this one.
Hey, you zig when we zagged. You're not a boomer sooner like we are. Our last one. This one I'll probably zig and you guys will zag. But and here I thought I was going to be the only one that picked Oklahoma, but BYU. Interesting team travels to Baylor. This is a future Big 12 matchup. 6.5 point favorites. The Baylor Bears are under Dave Aranda. Vinny, are you buying the Bears or are you taking BYU on the road?
I'm going to buy the Bears. That's, Joe Brady leaving is a lot of reason what's wrong with LSU, but Aranda has left and look what he's done over there at Baylor. And, we already see what's about to happen to Ed because those guys are gone. I'm going Aranda and the Bears at home. It'll be a rude preview of things to come for BYU when they do step over to the Big 12.
All right. Israel.
Yeah, after watching BYU last week against Boise, I think the Bears are going to put a whooping on them. Sort of simple fact that Bears are playing some really good football. They're playing some inspired football. They went, 0-for last year, maybe won two games from last year. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. To this year, they're one loss, I think they got. And after that one loss, they've been playing some really good football. So I'm taking the Bears all the way in this one.
All right. Well, I am truly zagging. For some reason, I'm buying into BYU. I think they're playing incredible football. I think they're not playing like a G5 team. I do think Baylor is still really learning how to be a consistent program. They've done really well over the last few weeks. They're red hot, but Kalani Sitake is really kind of driven that culture at BYU and has really done a tremendous job there getting those guys to play at a high level, even after losing Zach Wilson. So I'm going to take BYU. At least if they don't win, I still think they cover. I think Baylor's going to win this one by a field goal if they win, if BYU doesn't outright win. So, that's our picks. So we'll let you know how we all do. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't pick the most important game of the weekend. I was saving that for last and then I forgot about it. Shame on me. Georgia comes in. They're 22.5 point favorites versus Kentucky. Vinny, can the Cats cover this spread? I think I know what your answer is going to be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we know why. Just rewind. Just hit rewind if you really want a detailed explanation as to why you think they cover. I think that the key things for you, Vinny, are what? What are the key things? Just, why do they cover?
Defensively, they should be able to hold up. The teams are similar. Georgia has more talent, but they both want to run the ball at each other, play tough defense. It's just going to be it's like that heavyweight fight. First one to kind of blink. I don't see the one running away and hiding from the other. They both have good, strong running games. Both can pass the ball. Georgia is smothering everybody, but you can get something to Wondell. You can hit a little slip screen to him or take a shot and hit something. C-Rod can do his thing to keep the chains moving. And it's going to be the clock's going to be moving too quick for anybody to run away with it. And I think both of them style of play will kind of keep it in rock fight mode.
All right. Israel. Does Georgia cover?
I'm believing it. I think Georgia covers. Simply for the fact that we're going to do the exact opposite of what Vinny just said. We're going to just take it from them already. I think that's what you have to do in order for us to even win the football game. You have to take Kentucky out of it from the jump, you know, keep your pedal on them. And I think we end up covering.
Yeah, I think the key to getting free of the upset is to just jump on them early and often. And I think that with the Georgia win, that's going to happen. I don't think Georgia's going to win any other way. I mean, it could be close, obviously, but yeah, I just think if this is going to be kind of like what that Auburn game was, you know, it's going to kind of play out in that same fashion, because I think that, you know, once Georgia kind of gets rolling, they're a momentum based team this year. So once they kind of get rolling, they can put up some points in bunches. And I think Kentucky, honestly, is going to have a hard time scoring. So this defense is not a good matchup. It's not the best matchup for Kentucky, even though they have some playmakers, and even though Vinny has convinced me that some of the woes were just, you know, a few miscues here and there. I've learned a lot more about Kentucky in the last 45 minutes than I have all season talking to our man Vinny. But I just think at the end of the day, this defense, what Kentucky does really well, Georgia's defense does exceptionally well. And so they're going to have a hard time. And that's not a knock on Kentucky. It's just, I mean, it just is what it is at this point. So I think Georgia's going to cover. And until they don't, I'm going to continue to pick them.
And look, to your point, we talked last year, I think, and you all knew this was kind of be the Georgia team that you are about to have. You all mm-hmm. saw this coming. I can't mm-hmm. remember what you said, but it was like the next year is going to be really something else. You said it might drop a little bit the following year, something to that effect. You all knew what has happened mm-hmm. was about to happen when we were talking about this last year.
Georgia wasn't going to lose a ton. They weren't going to lose a ton of players. And so, you know, we knew that. We knew there was going to be a few DBs, that the secondary was going to be a tough position to fill. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's playing out like I thought it would, even from mm-hmm. looking at the long-term scope from last year.
So, Israel, man, the best defense since, I mean, if the old-timers are down there talking at Athens, or from mm-hmm. what you've seen for Georgia, this is the best defense since fill in the blank.
Man, this is the – from my time of watching Georgia from about 2001 to 2005 – I think this is the best defense I've seen since that group, with Odell, with Sean Jones, mentioned with all those guys, David Pollard, all those guys. I mean, Davis, you got Greg Blue. I mean, you got so many people that was on that team that contributed. This defense kind of reminds me of them. The difference in this defense now and then is that this defense is a little bit faster than they were. And that's scary. That defense will knock the hell out of you. They will. This defense will too, and they can catch you. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
They can run you down. They can run. They can cover sideline to sideline. You know, I think that's the one leg up that this group has over that previous group is that defense. This defense right here can cover you sideline to sideline. And that's scary.
Yeah. To me, to answer to fill in that blank for me is 0-2. Like, that defense was disgusting in 0-2. You mm-hmm. had Tim Jennings, you had Sean Jones, you had Thomas Davis, David Pollock, Boss Bailey, Tony Gilbert. You had Kedrick Golston on the inside. You know, you had Chris Clemens at linebacker, who played some in the NFL. I mean, you had NFL guys littering that defense, you know. Kedrick Golston played 12 years for the Redskins before he retired, before they became the Washington football team. But he played 12 years in the league as a defensive lineman. So, I mean, that's one of those guys. That's probably one of the least known guys on that starting unit is Kedrick Golston, played 12 years in the league. So just an impressive group. I think this group is better than that group. Because of what Israel said, the overall speed of the defense, this group could go laterally. But Boss Bailey has done something that I you rarely see. He could jump up over the line, without touching anybody and block a field goal.
Yeah.
Like you go look. He did that. He blocked an extra point that way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how quickly that extra point ball gets up in the air.
Yeah.
He blocked it. He got up and blocked that one. And one of my favorite Sean Jones plays was actually in the 03 season up in Knoxville. They're up 14-0, getting ready to punch it in and make it 21-0. And we get a fumble on the goal line, and Sean Jones scoops it up, goes all the way, makes it 14-7. And then I think Georgia ended up winning that game like 41-14, something like that. Ended up killing them. Thought being a Tennessee hater, you would like to hear that story.
Oh yeah. Never
get thought. Did you see the smile that came on his face when you said that?
Oh, it was lighting up, man. He was like, oh, man, it's making me happy. Yeah. Man,
my favorite is, you know, you guys know the, anyway, it was the hobnail boot game with Larry Munson. Yeah. When you came back, is it Verron Hayes? Is that
what's name? Yeah, Verron Haynes. His son is actually a top recruit.
Oh wow, okay. And yeah. I saw where, I mean, y'all, it's who's who recruiting that's gonna be there Saturday. It's just ridiculous. All the kids you guys got gonna be there in between the hedges. But my wife's brother at the time, well, he was living in Chattanooga. So me and my wife went down there to see him and his wife just spend the weekend. Listen to it on the radio a little bit, get in there and turn on the TV just in time to see the play action, throw it to Hayes there in the end zone. And this is still, you know, Kentucky's still in their huge losing streak to Tennessee. So anybody that beats Tennessee, I love you. So I was just running through his house, fired up. You'd have thought Kentucky had won the way I was running through the house. Oh, my God. Georgia came back and won. Yeah. And then
I was at a homecoming dance because I was a senior in high school. I was at a homecoming dance during that game.
He's making his moves. Let's see.
I was making my moves, and apparently Verron Haynes was making his moves too. So yeah, I remember like catching glimpses of that.
And then later you get the audio, because I mean I never listened to Georgia radio, but you hear the audio. I think Tennessee was playing it the following week because they were like, listen to the Georgia guy. And we just crushed their face with a hobnail boot. I was like, oh my God, this dude was clowning them on the air. I said, I love this dude. And
that's Larry Munson's style. I didn't know what a hobnail
boot was.
Yeah.
I mean, we just crushed their face. I was like, yeah. It's like, that's my guy right here.
Dude, you need to get in that. You need to get in a Larry Munson wormhole and just listen to all his calls, man. It's hilarious. Yeah, you talk about Homer radio, which that's how home team radio should be, right? that's how it should be. Like every school should have that.
Yeah,
they don't. They're doing it wrong. Like there should be no such thing as an impartial, non-biased home team radio. Like Kentucky's dude should be crazy. You know, what's the guy's name at Auburn? Like that guy goes nuts, man. The guy that just passed away.
Oh,
Rod Bramlett.
Yeah.
Rod Bramlett. Dude was outstanding.
Yeah.
Listening to his kick six call was incredible.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
That's right.
Well, listen to Larry Munson's call with the 1980 Florida game, the Lindsey Scott play. Man, is there gonna be some property destroyed tonight? 26-24, dogs on top. That's where that segment came from.
Yes,
just to be able to do all that on the fly and tell you what's happening on the field and just paint the picture. If you're listening on your radio, it's perfect, man. As you know.
Yeah. I need to go back and listen to some of the calls with Lorenzen. I'm sure he had some zingers for Lorenzen.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been, it's Tom Leach. Yeah. Tom Leach would have been doing it. And Ralph Hacker.
Yeah.
Haywood Lefford did it for years. And then, Ralph was a little kind of played it cool. Tom Leach will holler and scream a little bit. He'll kind of get into it a little bit more. So, yeah.
Well, Vinny, We're in overtime now. I'm sure Herbert's ready to go to bed, but we're going to wrap this thing up right here, man. But if you're wondering, man, find us. Our information is scrolling down below. Find us on YouTube. Hit that bell notification. Subscribe. You can find us wherever you find all your podcasts, including at Believe in Kentucky. We're going to get the audio of this. That'll be up tomorrow and this weekend for your listening pleasure. It will stream right here on YouTube. And then we'll get this thing rolling, man. But Vinny, it was fun to have you, man. I can't wait till basketball season. We'll get you back on here, and we'll come over to y'all's place too, and we'll make it a nice little home and home there for basketball season. So but Vinny, any last words? Anything you want to say before we wrap this thing?
Man, I think we covered it all. You know, look, my bad for putting Herbert in overtime. If I was on here yakking too much, I apologize.
Oh, it's all good, man. It's all good.
I like it's always hard fun chopping it up with y'all, man. It's fun. You guys doing your thing over here. Believe in Dogs. We've been in these SEC streets on Believe for a while. You mm-hmm. doing your thing on the other podcast, SEC After Dark, and Israel bringing his insights and experience from the field. Man, you guys got a good thing going. And, Dog Nation is proud to have y'all, man, to be able to get the content each and every week, man.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, like I've always said, you're one of the best in the business. You were one of our first guests, or one of my first guests, I should say, before Israel jumped on. But I think I remember I had you and I had Chad Glore on. Those were my first two guests for this show. So that was a lot of fun just to see kind of where it's started. And, you know, it was you and me and Matt Perkins in one of our early episodes, and to sure. see where it turned into, like, I couldn't quite get my mic calibrated, and now we got a PTI
set.
We got graphics. We got a producer, somebody who is behind the scenes, like,
yeah, in your ear before the show, man. Big time stuff, y'all, just blowing up, man.
Absolutely. Hats off to Herbert and Courtney Vargas here at Brinks TV. So that's going to do it for us. Israel, y'all better make the playoffs. But we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. We have joined forces with the Believe in Kentucky podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast. You find us right here on YouTube as well. We thank you for listening. However you listen, make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review, let us know how we're doing. And of course, spread the good word about our podcast, not just the Believe in Georgia Dogs, but if you are interested in broadening your horizons, Georgia fans, check out Believe in Kentucky. It's a great show. We do it right here on the Believe Networks. So for Israel and our guest, Vinny Hardy, I'm Corey Burton. We hope you have a great rest of your week. We hope you have a great Friday and an even better weekend. And of course, I can't leave without saying it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
This is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.